and welcome to The Beef Edge, the Chagas Beef Podcast, for all your latest news, information and advice for Irish beef farmers. I'm Catherine Egan, and on this week's special 100th episode, I'm delighted to be joined by Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConnellogue, to find out what beef farmers can expect from the new CAP, to discuss markets for Irish beef abroad, and what's in store for the future of the Irish beef sector. Minister, you're very welcome. You've had a very busy few months on your recent nationwide tour of 27 marts in 25 counties for the CAP consultations. What two or three key lessons have you learned from your interaction with beef farmers that you can turn into a positive for beef farmers on the ground?
Thanks, Catherine. Listen, it's great to join with you in the Beef Edge Chagas podcast today. So listen, I found the exercise of the National March Tour really, really useful. It's clear to me from speaking to beef farmers and to all farmers that they're really invested in working towards a more sustainable sector, both for their families and indeed for wider communities, which is one of the core objectives of the next CAP. And I also got a very strong message from farmers that they want to be part of the solution, and that they very much see themselves as part of the solution to and meeting that wider climate challenge. And it's crucial that they are supported in their efforts now to do this as robustly as possible over the course of the next CAP. And the next CAP is very much designed to do that. And I think, Catherine, it's clear to me that farmers want to play their part in the climate challenge, and they want me to back them in doing that. And that's exactly what I will be doing.
That's great to hear, Minister. And what do you see as the main supports for beef farmers in the next CAP?
I think the core support proposed specifically for beef farmers is the Suckler Carbon Efficiency Scheme, which will build on the work of the BDGP, which came before it, and also elements of the BEEP-S and BEEP schemes to help drive environmental and productivity efficiency on farms. So it'll deliver €150 a cow on the first 10 cows, as opposed to the €90 a cow on the first 10 under the BDGP. Another support which I see is having significant potential for beef farmers is the enhanced support for producer organisations, and also, of course, the organics funding, which I think will become increasingly attractive and farmers will look at even more in the time ahead. And also really importantly as well, the young farmer supports that are there, which will support beef farmers too.
They're very welcome supports, Minister, but there are a lot of mixed messages which have farmers confused as to what's expected of them in the future for their beef production system. What do you see being expected of beef farmers?
Well, I think there will always be challenges with communicating complex ideas in an easily digestible way. And indeed, the waters around these issues are easily muddied as well. But at the core of what I want to do is protect our beef farmer incomes. That's really, really important, while finding ways of reducing your carbon footprint at the same time. So if you look at the trajectory that the supports for the sector have taken over the last number of years with the BEEP scheme and the BDGP scheme and indeed its predecessors, it's clear that underpinning all of these measures is the need to continually improve technical and environmental efficiency at farm level. Now, the environment that the beef supply chain exists in is complex and competitive, obviously. However, it is our overarching aim, in line with the Food Vision 2030 strategy, for Ireland to become a world leader in sustainable food systems over the course of the next decade. So that won't be an easy task. It's not a small task at all, but it's one that I know Irish farmers are more than equal to. And certainly that my department and I will provide as much support as possible to farmers to help them achieve long-lasting success through that.
And rising import costs are a major concern to listeners at the moment, Minister. And given fertiliser supplies are under pressure, what is your department doing to support farmers to ensure that there will be a supply there to meet these requirements next year?
Well, listen, I'm very, very aware of the significant increase in fertiliser prices over the last year, particularly in recent months, and indeed its impact at farm level. And I think this will be the challenge of 2022. The fertiliser market is largely driven by global supply and demand, and a number of factors are driving very worrying increases in fertiliser prices over the last period of time. And that's also impacting on supply for certain fertiliser products as well. At the November Agriculture and Fisheries Council meeting, I raised the increasing challenge being faced by farmers due to the rising costs of fertiliser. And I called on the EU Commission to consider all options to ease the pressure on farmers this time, including very much as well the question of whether the imposition of anti-dumping duties on fertiliser imports should continue to be an appropriate measure for this matter indeed to be examined and reviewed as a matter of priority. I also subsequently, Catherine, wrote to the EU Commissioner for Agriculture, Jenna Zwiczewski, requesting that the Commission's assessment of the anti-dumping duties on fertilisers that review would be completed really, really quickly. So also, listen, in line with the farm-to-fork strategy, the climate action plan, commits to more targeted and reduced use of chemical fertiliser while maintaining the same level of grass production through a number of measures, including, for example, focusing on soil fertility and also greater use of clover swards and of multi-species swards. So I've introduced a number of initiatives to support farmers to reduce their dependence on fertiliser use. And I've also tasked Chagas with developing a roadmap for farmers to reduce the use of chemical fertilisers on farms. And I have a new, for example, 1 million euro initiative in there launched to support the planting of multi-species swards. And indeed then, as farmers will be aware, over the last couple of months, I launched the pilot soil sampling program, which has been a very strong uptake for. So the impact of rising fertiliser prices on the competitiveness of the farming sector will continue to be closely monitored by myself and by officials here. And it'll be foremost in my mind as we step forward planning for next year in the same way as it is in farmers' minds right across the country.
That's good to hear, Minister. And following the recent publication of the report on the work of the Beef Task Force, what type of new forum do you envisage and when will it be put in place?
Listen, I was pleased to publish the report of the chair of the task force. And that report clearly sets out that the group satisfied his remit in monitoring and progressing the implementation of the actions which were agreed by the stakeholders in the beef sector agreement back in September 2019. Now, the task force had a dedicated and very diligent chair, as we know, and I fully accepted his further recommendation as well that we need to see ongoing stakeholder engagement on the key strategic issues facing the sector. I want to recognise the work of Michael Dowling as the chair of it, and indeed the role of all the members of what was, you know, there was tremendous work went into this task force right over the course of its time frame and of its lifetime. Preparations are now currently underway to establish a new forum, and as you know, ensuring that there is a long term sustainable and viable future for the suckler and beef farmers is a top priority for me as minister. And to that end, a new sectoral forum will be taking a strategic view of supporting the development of the sector in line with the Food Vision Strategy. And I plan to engage further now with farm organisations in advance of stepping that forward.
And when do you expect this to be put in place?
I'll be engaged. Obviously, I've just recently published the report from the chairman. It's something I want to have in place early in the first part of next year. So I will be engaging with farm organisations now over the start of next year in terms of how that's structured and in terms of establishing it.
Listeners will be delighted to hear that and look forward to being launched in the first quarter of 2022. In relation to the Borbia Suckler beef brand, when do you expect that to be rolled out?
Well, so the Suckler brand promotion group, which was established through the task force and is chaired at senior level in my own department, it's one year into a three-year programme of work now at the moment. And I announced in the last budget that I will make up to 6 million euro over the course of 3 years available for this work to be progressed. So I'm looking forward to seeing the output of this work in the coming period of time. And really importantly, it will be very much driven by that Suckler brand promotion group, which has representatives of farmers on that and who are very, very focused on trying to ensure that 6 million euro of funding that I have made available, that that's spent wisely and that is spent in a way which will develop a market and try and maximise the return for Suckler farmers in particular.
Minister, Borbia submitted a PGI application for Irish grass-fed beef on behalf of Irish farmers. When do you expect to hear if it's successfully registered?
Well, the PGI application for Irish grass-fed beef was submitted to the EU Commission about a year ago. And since then, my department and Borbia have responded to a number of detailed queries from the Commission. I'm delighted that the PGI application has, as of the 8th of December, been published by the Commission for the next stage of consultation. So that's a really, really important step forward and a very, very significant one. If successfully registered now, the PGI status for Irish grass-fed beef could have very significant benefits for all those in the supply chain, particularly for beef farmers who are the cornerstone of our sector. And my department and Borbia will now continue to engage intensively with the European Commission on this application and also with counterparts in Northern Ireland with a view to ensuring that that Northern Ireland can join the application at the appropriate time. And I have been very closely engaged with the Northern Irish Agriculture Minister, Edwin Poots, on this over the course of the past year. I know it's something that Minister Poots and the Northern Irish administration are very committed to joining and are very committed to seeing this done on a 32-county basis. And I think that would be really, really, strong approach and strengthen Irish agriculture right across the island. So I look forward to working closely with them and stepping that out. And I think it's a really, really significant initiative overall, and want to acknowledge the work of all who've contributed to it in terms of driving it forward, for me and my own department, and importantly, all the farm representatives, and indeed the task force who very much framed this, the Beef Task Force very much framed it at the outset as well.
It's great to hear it has been successfully registered. And in your opinion, what benefits do you see it having for beef farmers?
I think the main benefit is the bolstering of our competitive advantage. And so having that PGI status can be expected to open doors for Ireland in our efforts to diversify and enhance market access, and doors that were previously closed. So as I previously said, ensuring access to as many key markets for our products as possible is a key aim of mine as minister. And I think this PGI status will be something that will give us greater capacity to do that, and indeed advertise Ireland as a world-leading producer of quality beef, and one that we can advertise in a way that consumers will, it'll be at the front of consumers' minds in terms of whenever they think of quality Irish beef, and really importantly, whenever they go to consume quality beef.
Minister, you mentioned from your discussions with farmers that they're very focused on sustainability, and they're hearing more and more about climate change and carbon footprint and greenhouse gas emissions. As part of the Climate Action Plan to reduce emissions, Minister, rather than a blanket reduction of the national herd, would you consider a voluntary reduction of the beef and dairy cows if farmers that were willing to reduce numbers were compensated to do so?
Well, the government's new Climate Action Plan sets out a 22 to 30% reduction in agricultural greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. And that's based on a starting point of 23 megaton. And it's to bring our emissions into a range of 16 to 18 megatons by 2030. Which would be an absolute reduction, Catherine, of between 5 and 7 megaton on our starting position. So looking back over the last decade, data from the Central Statistics Office's June livestock survey indicates that the total number of cattle has increased by 11%. That's over the period from 2010 to 2021. And over that period as well, we've seen the total number of cows has increased by 14%. The government's position is to maintain a stable herd of animals while reducing the absolute emissions of the sector and improving the carbon footprint of the food that we're producing. So in stabilising the national herd, the focus over the coming decade will be on the increased and early adoption of existing carbon mitigation measures. We'll also work to develop new abatement measures through research and innovation. National herd numbers by 2030 will be determined not only by how technology and innovation deliver for the agricultural sector, but also by the extent to which livestock farmers embrace other opportunities and voluntarily diversify to other agricultural enterprises over that period of time as well, for example, extending organic farming practices. But it's very much about empowering farmers, ensuring farmers have absolute choice in relation to their farming model, how they do farming, backing them in doing that, putting farm profitability at the centre of that. But really importantly, you know, maintaining livestock production, beef production, the production of milk protein as the centre of what we do as Irish farmers, because we do that better than anyone else in the world. We'll continue to do that better than anyone else in the world. It'll continue to drive forward our national herd. But in doing that, obviously, we'll all have to have a focus in terms of reducing the emissions footprint of the food that we're producing to, and that will only add value to that food as well, Catherine, because what it means is that consumers who will be increasingly looking to the sustainability credentials of everything they do in all aspects of their life, no more so than in relation to the food they consume. They want to know that food is consumed in the most sustainable way possible through a farming model that is really sustainable. And that's what we have. That's what we'll strengthen, what we'll build on. And in doing so, we'll become even more attractive. I have full confidence to consumers across the world over the next decade, and we will maximise the value and profit that our farmers can make in producing that food too.
In order to achieve the stable herd that you've mentioned, would you consider a voluntary reduction of the beef and dairy cows?
Well, since 2017 now, we have seen the herd stabilising. So numbers have stabilised. There was undoubtedly a lot of expansion because there have been real, you know, latent capacity, pent up capacity in our farming system nationally due to the milk quotas that have been there since the early 1980s. The removal of those in 2015 obviously saw an expansion, you know, in advance of that and since that. But that has stabilised since 2017. So, and I would hope to see, you know, by us giving ranges of options to farmers, that we would see that stay stable over the next period of time as well. But it is important that it does stay stable. And listen, that's something I'll be engaging with farm representative organizations and all stakeholders in the sector to ensure that in terms of the policies we have in place and the approaches that we take, that we keep that herd stable and also significantly then drive down the emissions footprint of the food we're producing too. So, but I will work really collaboratively. It's in all of our interests to achieve that. And I'll work really collaboratively with everyone to do that while providing the very necessary leadership to ensure that it happens.
Thanks, Minister. It's great to get an insight from you today and from our conversation. Listeners will be happy to hear that beef farming is very much on your agenda. I'd like to wish you and your family a very happy and peaceful Christmas.
Thank you, Catherine, and pleasure to join with you in the podcast today. And I'd like to wish you a happy Christmas and indeed all your listeners as well. And thank everyone for the tremendous work they've done over the course of the last year. It's been a really challenging year, moving out of Brexit, but of course, enveloped by the pandemic. Agriculture has had to keep going right throughout that. And it's been a hard year, a lot of hard work by farmers, by those in the processing sector, those right across the food sector over the last year. I want to thank everyone for that. Thank as well Chagas for the great work they've done in supporting farmers hope everyone can look forward to a break and a happy and peaceful Christmas and a successful 2022. So thank you very much, Catherine.
That's all for this week's episode, and my thanks to Minister Charlie McConnell for joining me on the show. You can catch up on all other shows and interviews from the Beef Edge podcast on the Chagas website at chagas.ie, or you can listen on Apple and Google Podcasts as well as Spotify. Don't forget to rate, review and subscribe so you never miss a show. For all other updates from our beef programme, keep an eye on our Twitter and Facebook pages. Until next time, I'm Catherine Egan and thanks for listening.